Because the Lord speaks and the Lord always wants to speak. He spoke to us these days. And he who has an ear has heard. And we need such an ear when the Lord speaks to us. We do not want to hear only interesting topics and sensations. And no, we want to hear what is on the Lord's heart. He wants to obtain his testimony. How it comes forth is clearly shown. It only happens through the Spirit. God doesn't have a new method. The only new way there is we come to the Lord. He cleared this way, and we come to Him, touch Him, and receive the Spirit. We read of this occurrence when Jesus went in John 7 to the Feast of Tabernacles. He stood up the last day of it and said, "He who thirsts, come to me and drink." He stood up and cried loudly, shouted loudly. We also have the last day today, but I hope we did not only have a feast such as that time, but the Lord called from the first day here during this conference. For us, the living water is not the future, but we experience it today. We drank living water. I hope every one of us drank of this Spirit and has been filled. That's the Spirit, quenching our thirst. We human beings are thirsty in need for the living water, for the Spirit truly satisfying us. The world is longing for this. They want to be satisfied and do everything, but don't reach it. Now, in my outline, I wrote down a point, capital A, saying Christ will return. We have to keep this in our eyes, before our eyes, that we would wait for the return of the Lord. The Lord will return, and time is passing by quickly, that you hardly are able to follow up. The occurrences in this world take place quickly, more and more, quicker and quicker. That's the world. When I was young at that time, formerly 19, at the end of the 80s, how certain political systems from today till tomorrow broke up. The world situation dramatically changed quickly. All of a sudden, at that time it was to the positive, I would say. I don't know what happens if today, all of a sudden, the world situation will change to the negative. To its detriment. I was looking at a diagram somewhere, just in order to see in what time we do live. Let me just draw a diagram, a sketch here at the blackboard. I don't write down the numbers. I would just draw a curve, a line. So it starts very low and then rises exponentially. It's the development, the growth of world population. And in the middle was the year 1800, roughly. All these last centuries, the population didn't grow much. When I was in school, they said, oh, it may soon be 2 billion population. How will they all feed them? And they calculated in the year 2100, if we ever get there, we calculated it should be more than 11 billion persons on this planet. And we are living more. We use more resources than we should. Turmoils, uproars, wars, famine, poverty, everything is scheduled already. you can predict already. And we know from the scriptures of the Bible, they say, it says, all these things will happen. And in these last 50, 70 years, we lived in a world, we had a fantastic time of peace and welfare, at least in our country, in our region. Even Europe. In the history, we never had this before, you could say. This can change very quickly. And I don't want to spread fear, no. But you should know how to deal with the situation. You should be sober to understand what happens in the world. You young people, I ask you, I urge you to inform yourself what is going on. The last month, the started a movement, Friday for Future. Young persons, instead of going to school on Fridays, they go down to the streets, demonstrating, panicking, because of the climate change, what does everything, where does everything go to? The old world is being destroyed and the old persons, the old people, don't do anything about it. What do we do? What do we do? We know the world lies in the hand of the evil one. Do we want to merely improve this world? Improve the fallen world? I look up now, let me just look up Acts 4, where we see what the church at that time prayed or did. It's Acts chapter 4. It was a different situation, but they were challenged. They had been challenged. The brothers had been taken captive, and were searched and they were threatened and they came back to the saints.
Erhoben sie ihre Stimme einmütig zu Gott und sprachen, Herr,
and they raised up their voice.
Alles, was in ihnen ist, der du durch den Heiligen Geist, durch den Mund unseres Vaters David, deines Knechtes, gesagt
through the mouth. 25, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? There is the world standing against God, rejecting Him, rejecting His anointed, the Christ. Right? This world, the kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers, that's verse 26, were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, they were gathered together in this city. If you hear of some African countries, how the radical Islam religion is spread and Christians are persecuted and driven out and even be killed, persecuted. Right? On Sunday, Easter Sunday morning in Sri Lanka, a few churches, several church buildings have been blown up by bombs. Muslim extremists attacked the Christians. Hundreds died. The persecuted. It increases this persecution. They gather against the Christ and His Lord, the Lord and His Christ. So the world will more and more rise up against God. This is our future. I'm sorry to say that. I cannot say anything better than that. This is the future. But listen here. It says they gathered together against your holy servant Jesus. At that time, Herod and Pontius Pilate. But just only, verse 28, to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. It's all in the hand of God. All the nations, what they do, it is in God's hand. Right? Only God provokes someone to turn a little bit on the wheel and the world situation changes again. The balance is shifted. Something is moved in this world. Everything is very fragile. The whole world system. What do we do?
Nun, Herr, sieh an. ihr Drohen oder was auch immer. Die Probleme, sieh sie alle an. Aber gib deinen
What do we do? Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. This is our commission. Whatever in the world may happen, whatever the situation is, we will not be impressed as much as to be put silent. No, the Lord gave us His Word and He gave us His Spirit, and the church be such an expression in midst of the chaos of this world going downhill. You have such a testimony of God. The last verse of the Bible even says that after John showed everything, the judgment of this world, the judgment over Babylon, all this scenery described, one verse is there, the bride and the spirit and the bride say, come. This is a normal condition. Not something we only have to attain to. No, this is the condition of the time of grace, the age of grace today. There is the church and the Spirit speaking together. John chapter 7, Jesus is speaking alone, individually, only Him speaking. Today, the Spirit speaks with the church, together. Spirit and the bride, that's God's plan. That's a testimony on the earth. Even if you go downtown, preach the gospel, you're not alone. You're a member of, small member of the body of Christ, as I and all of you. And we want the Spirit to flow through us, and we are being built up together, and there is a testimony. There's a testimony of oneness. Don't underestimate. Last night, we read Ephesians 4. We be diligent. We should be diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit. The Elberfelder translation says, be diligent to preserve the oneness of the Spirit. You have to preserve it. It is something static, something existing. If you want to preserve something, endeavoring to keep the oneness of the Spirit. Keep means it's important if you have it. Don't play with it. Don't. Even if we clarify things in between us and go on together, this is crucial. The way how this oneness is preserved, is kept, is when you read chapter 4 of Ephesians and you go on reading, I think it's verse 12, No, 16.
Dass wir in Christus hineinwachsen, heißt es in Vers 15.
Grow up in Christ, verse 15.
In Christus als das Haupt,
into Him as the head, then 16. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by every joint of the supply. Every joint, literally, of the supply. My joints move. It's a joint of supply. It supplies something. In the body of Christ, there are joints that supply. And we are all such joints who supply. Pedro is a joint who supplies. And I enjoy the supply. Don't you? It doesn't have to be high words, but Christ is supplied. This is so precious. We pass on to each other Christ. Actively, something happens. I don't only keep or preserve something, the oneness, that it's not be lost. This is too little. No, it is actively. We're participating in the building. We're exercising to gain Christ in our lives. As we have heard these days, we are a pipe opening up to the flow through the faith by exercising obedience to keep to flow, let this flow on to others. This cooperation with the Lord, right?
Wir alle sind so entscheidend, das ist mir auch so bewusst geworden. Während der Bruder das mitgeteilt hat,
I was aware when the brother shared this, I was reminded of several years ago, we had a very nice car, a good car. Well, it was a little of age already. It was a diesel motor. It was a good car. And the main technical part with a diesel engine is the injection of the fuel. The fuel, the diesel fuel, gas, is only entering into the engine chamber through injection, through vents who inject. But the pipe broke down, so the engine broke down. And we said it was too expensive to repair, so I said, no, we don't repair it, have it repaired. So this engine is the crucial part of this whole car, otherwise it doesn't drive. So if we all are the injection vents, aren't we? We are vents for injection, for the work of God, that is the church. We are these little pipes, and they are easily blocked. And it is unsynchronized if you don't listen to the Lord, right? One day I didn't care and didn't hear to the Lord much. I have to confess. But at night there was a home meeting. A brother had brought something, and he had enjoyed something of the Lord that day. And that helped. My pipe was unblocked again, was ready to flow again. We need each other. Everyone needs the other one. This is not only for us, but it's for the testimony, for God, for the Lord. These many saints we see in Acts, they all have different tasks, duties. They serve the Lord, but it was the one Spirit flowing. It was at that time the Spirit and the Bride. And today, it's the Spirit and the Bride speaking. It's a testimony today. The testimony of the Church. And the Lord prepares the world situation. We have to know it. We have to be watchful. We read in Thessalonians. I wrote down to the outline. You can read it. Let me just read to you one part of it. 1 Thessalonians 5, from verse 1. Concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. It's important now, for when they say peace and safety, especially if you look to the Middle East, to say peace and safety. Well, peace and safety. If you watch out for this a little bit, then will come upon them sudden destruction. Things will easily, quickly change. But you brethren are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. No, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. How are we sober and watchful? By entering into the fellowship with the Lord and take care of it. The Spirit flows through us. Lord Jesus, the Spirit makes us all awake.
When the Herr zurückkommt, möchte er heiraten.
When the Lord comes back, he wants to marry, and that's why he's preparing his bride. Of course, all of us individually, he equips us, but he wants to have a bride. Bride with wonderful marriage feast. The bride is prepared through the washing of the water in the Word to be his church. Right? And when he comes, he will establish, he will erect his kingdom. He will establish his kingdom. Christ was crucified here at point in time. At the end, well, there it was the age of the old covenant was finished. Jesus lived 33 years on the earth and then died for our sins and rose up, resurrected, and shortly after that the church came into being. And now when we live in the age of grace, it's the age of the church at the same time. It's the Spirit and the Bride. And one day, the Lord will come back and will set up His kingdom. Will set up His kingdom and reign for 1,000 years. And after that, at the end of the 1,000 years, the devil again, although he was conquered, he will still rise up again and seduce mankind. It's not finished yet. But then after that will start the age of eternity, with the New Jerusalem, the eternity future, built up, a city built up by God with man, God's reign on earth, full of light, city full with the tree of life, river of life. It's the fullness of God for eternity. And we live before that. We don't know when this time will start. But everything we can read or can see in the developments today is it will not take much time anymore. I want to be prepared when the Lord comes. Let me say it as I see it for myself. My best preparation, best way to prepare is giving yourself for the church life. Be for the church. I am the church. I hear the Lord. And I want to be useful to the Lord. And the Spirit is able to change me and flow through me. It is many times nothing great, but we hear the Lord, we listen to Him, and the Lord does His work on us. On the one hand, it is a hidden life with the Lord, but on the other hand, it's an expression. Lord Jesus, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Lord needs a testimony on this earth today, capital B on the outline. Not only when He returns, but also today. There is a church, and there is a Spirit. And what the Spirit works is what we see in the beginning of Acts. Many things can happen. Many Christians believe the Spirit can do much. Yeah, they believe in miracles, special events. But from all the Lord has shown us and from what we know Him, His working is not restricted to miracles. But the most important thing is Him to fill of His work is to fill us. What is the Spirit? The Spirit is nothing else but the person of Jesus, and He wants to fill me with His nature, with His being, with His character. That's the Spirit. We expect supernatural things sometimes. You can expect that, yeah, but you should not put your focus on that. You may expect the Lord will do a miracle, yeah, but this is not our focus. We are not centered on that. We are centered on the Spirit. We allow the Spirit to lead and guide, as Philip at that time in Acts. He had a heart for the gospel, and the Lord led him, go to this chariot. And I want to be as open as him to the Lord. Just last week, I had occasion, I told the saints already, I made an appointment with my wife to meet. She is working next to our church room, meeting room. And at the afternoon, one day I said to her, let's meet to go shopping. We meet in our meeting hall, and I will be there and do a few things, and you come pick me up. And when I was in the meeting room, in our meeting hall, I made a few things, and then I said, oh, maybe I could cook a little coffee in the kitchen. I went to the kitchen we have in our meeting hall, and I prepared a little bit, a cup of coffee, and then a man came in of the company having their rooms next to us. He entered in our kitchen as well. So it's a kitchen we can both use, and they have a good automatic machine to produce, a very expensive one, produce a coffee. And I said to him, oh, I would like to also have a coffee. I wouldn't dare to use your machine. And I also like Polish coffee. It's okay. Do you know what Polish coffee is? Go to Wojciechów, Poland, and they will tell you. Polish coffee. And we stood there in the kitchen together, which is open for both of us, both companies. So next to the kitchen is our children's meetings room. And you have a glass window you can look through. He said, whenever I look into this room, there is a Bible verse written on the wall, and you have the small chairs arranged for the children. He said, it touches me pleasantly. He likes it if he sees the children. This little room. And I told him, if you come Sundays, there is life in it. It's lively. Don't only take a look during the week. It's empty. And then he said, well, do you think it could come on Sundays? And I said, of course you can. You are dearly invited. Come along. He said, I once was in a Christian group. They have rooms in this community area. And large entrance hall and two strong men standing at the door. And there was a performance. It seemed to be a charismatic group. This kind of he did not like. That shocked him. And he told the name of the group, and I knew it, and it was so American style. He didn't like it. And he went even to another group, and they were also kind of strange. No. He said, I will go back to my evangelical state church 3 times a year, but that's not much, he said to me. He told me, this is not much, is it? And I realized somehow he is open and he is seeking somehow. He is not so established, so fixed yet, so set in his mind. I said, you can come to next Sunday morning and we will have a word for new ones on Sunday morning. You can stay for lunch. And he said, is that possible? And I said, yes, of course. You are invited. Please come. And my name is Wolfgang. And I am Frank, he said. I'm Frank. My name is Frank. So we talked about a few things, and he asked me, are you the pastor? I said, no, we don't have a pastor. And I explained a few things to him. We just care for Jesus. We don't care for forms, rituals, liturgy. We just come together, enjoy the Lord. How good he is. We read in his Bible, in his word, we sing together, and we are glad about him, Jesus, and our faith in believing in God. And he said, this sounds good. We'll come. And at night we had a prayer meeting. We right away prayed for him. It is like our brother said, there are so many opportunities. And usually I never in the afternoon go to our meeting room because I don't have to do much there. We hardly meet these people there. These people from their company, from their job, are there during the weekday, and on the Sundays there is no one of them. But now we have this contact. So there are many opportunities. At lunch I heard neighbors came. They are open. It's to the children of the neighbors. They are attracted by the gospel. This is an important issue. This is our commission as a church, right? This is a testimony the Lord needs. Lord Jesus, that's a way to prepare. The church is filled in spirit. Capital C, the church being filled and burning in spirit. I had heard someone prayed, Lord, please send your Holy Spirit. Well, I tell you, the Spirit is already here. He doesn't have to send it. The Spirit is here. The Spirit is there. Be filled in Spirit.
And
then he explains how you do it. It's by speaking to one another through psalms and songs and spiritual hymns. Not only deep knowledge, but no, spiritual songs, songs of praise. This is passing on life. Share Christ. Share the Spirit. Romans 12 says, be burning in spirit, serve the Lord. Our service in the church, our service to man is through the Spirit. If we burn, if we are burning, then you will have the opportunity to pass it on to others. Make the spark jump over to others. The church is so important. There is a wonderful picture in Ezekiel 47. Let me just briefly mention, because many of you know it, but it shows a principle. You see the temple of God. Ezekiel saw such a vision of the temple of God. And then, from this temple, flowed forth a water flowing from under the altar. Under the right side of the altar, to the outward, to the outside. In the beginning, a little small flow, but it grows bigger and it's becoming a big river. Finally, you have to swim. It's so deep. And he measures it after a certain distance, measuring again. And the Lord wants, showing, this shows this river. The Lord wants in us to flow. We heard of pipes having the oil flow. We can also speak of brooks, rivers, waters, making glad the city of God. And out of this rivers, waters, becomes a big river flowing forth from the temple. So he doesn't stay in the temple and everybody only in the temple enjoys the life. This will become a lake. But the river is flowing to the outside, flowing forth, out. We should really take this to our hearts. If you have experienced how wonderful it is to one friend of yours or any other person, you tell something of the Lord. What a joy! If there is an open ear, then you will not stop doing it. You will realize this. The river wants to flow, or if someone new is coming to your home meeting, how all of a sudden the river wants to flow. Don't you feel? Instead of you always only being the same person. If you have a meeting, new ones coming, the river is flowing. The river has a tendency flowing forth, is inclined. He wants to flow out. Wherever the river flows, it will be made alive. The river is flowing to Russia, and it's made alive. I heard the saints right there. The saints traveled from Russia to here. Hallelujah. What do you have here? What do we have here? I hope we have something touched of the river of life, the river of the Spirit, making you alive. And I believe the river wants to do something in Russia, in Ukraine. Lord Jesus, praise the Lord. Wherever the river flows, it shall be made alive. And we enjoy this river ourselves, making us alive. These pipes, if they are intact, if they are clean, it makes, it heals my whole man, my whole being, gives joy to me. It makes me firm and strong in the Lord. And all my soulish ups and downs, all my moods will disappear. They're not that important anymore. Material things will not that be important. Important is the river can flow through us. Then we will be really happy. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And the second is joy. You will be joyful, glad. Praise the Lord. And if you have joy, others will realize. It's not a silent joy. It's a joy reaching others, taking them along, infecting others.
The
river flows from the temple. Saints, we should be those at the altar, not only bringing outward sacrifices, but experiencing the Lord as your consecration. The Lord gave everything for us at the altar, which is a picture of the cross, so we also give ourselves to Him. Lord, I've been crucified with you. If I haven't been crucified, the river cannot flow through me. But if I've been crucified with Christ and buried with Him, I give them the chance, flow through me, that this river increase. Amen. Praise the Lord. All the churches, there must be such a flowing. That it increases. Even the Dead Sea, mentioned here in this picture, in this vision of Ezekiel, even the Dead Sea will be alive again, containing fish. And wherever this river does not reach, it will remain a dead swamp. Right. Lord Jesus. The Lord had said in Matthew 28, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Isn't it this, Matthew 28, the last verses of that chapter? All power, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All power. In heaven and on earth. Go, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Teaching them. You may think of of commandments or regulations. Keep the Sabbath. No. Keep. Observe all things means come to me. Learn from me. Abide in me. So many things we should observe. What the Lord teaches us, that's what you can teach them. Abide in His love. That's what you can teach. Then He says, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. This point in time here, when the Lord comes back. This is what He means. He will terminate this age. He will not improve this world. He will terminate this world, this age. But unto that time, this point of time, we have a wonderful commission. We take part in the building up of the church. The Spirit flows through us and builds us up to His church. And this Spirit flows through us to others. That is a testimony the Lord needs, right? We recently had a conference on Isaiah 62. These last verses we read recently, walk through the gates and prepare the way for the people, right? Not only prepare the way for the Lord, but John the Baptist also prepared the way for the people. It's verse 10 in chapter 62. And he prepared the way for the Lord to come, that he would have a way to work. The same way it has to be these last days. A testimony preparing the way for the Lord to come back. That's us. The Lord has to make the churches a banner. Prepare the way. Build up the highway. Take out the stones. Verse 10. And the English translation says, it says, in English it says highway, not only street. The German translation says street. A highway, you think of a motorway. But the Lord, it shows just how quickly the Lord wants to come in a prepared situation. Right? For us, it means we have to do away with everything high or low. The high things is yourself, taking itself so important. Or if you exalt men and make something out of them, you exalt them, you lift them up, men, they're just as bad, they become pride, a proud, you have to humble that. You have to lower that. And the low things you have to exalt. The lack we have in our lives, he has to fill up. Right? There is a lot to be filled up. I watched that. The highway, the motorway between Karlsruhe and Stuttgart, they always renovated, reconstructed, and what they moved of earth. The amount of earth, the tons of earth, the ground they move to pave a straight street, highway, motorway, was tremendous. And that's the work the Lord does on us to prepare His way. It's not through a method, but it has to do, we open up to the Spirit. And He speaks. We listen to the Lord. We watch out for the Lord. This is paving the way for Him. For the Lord. Not only for us, it's for others as well. If we pave the way for Him in our small church life, in our life, and then others, new ones come, they right away enter in, walk on this highway. Something prepared already. Lord Jesus, you prepare the way for the people, and we prepare the way for the Lord.
Bahnt die Straße, reinigt sie von Steinen. Ja, manchmal muss man Steine wegräumen. Ja?
Build up the highway, take out the stones. In Matthew 13 you see the sower, where there are stones, nothing grows. Right? If there are stones, the life will not grow. The sun shines down and withers up, dries up everything. And it doesn't have roots and there is no future. That's why you have to take out the stones of your life. Right? Formerly, my parents, they had a piece of land, a little premises land, in a southern direction, always sunshine shining on it. But the big disadvantage, there were a lot of stones in that land. We only had to plow, we many times had to plow through, pull out the stones. But next year the stones were back again. You have to gather them out of again and again. They came up to the surface again and again, right? Otherwise you cannot harvest and not sow things. So we have to collect and gather away the stones from your heart. Maybe you are in the church life for years and a stone comes up again. Take it out again. Lord, we want to build up the street, build up the highway that you would have away, Lord. Lord Jesus, lift up a banner, it says, for the peoples. A banner. It's a banner set up, a sign, a point for orientation. You focus on that. And the church should be a banner like this. Not only for us, but for others. Orientation. Seeking out. They could find you. Gather together. That's the church. Say to the daughter of Zion 11, surely your salvation is coming. Surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Wonderful. Wonderful. And the bride, the Spirit and the bride say, what do they say? Come. Come. Yes. Come where? The Spirit and the bride say, come. The disciples, when they asked the Lord Jesus, where do you dwell? He said, only come and see. So where does the Lord dwell today? That's why today it's not sufficient. If I preach the gospel to someone, it's not enough. Even if you receive the Lord, still something is missing. The Lord wants to add him to the church. At that time he added to the church. We do not only preach Christ, but the people should come and see the church and enter in to the church life. It's the Spirit and the Bride. They go together. You have the Spirit. You cannot separate Him from the church. You cannot separate the Spirit from the church. There was a holy ointment at that time. Holy ointment in the Old Covenant. It was the picture. Moses received this from the Lord, produced with certain components. It was meant for, and it was only to be used in the house of God, for the priests of God, only in the house of God, all the furniture in the house. There was the ointment. It was not to be used for anybody else. So the Spirit and the church form a unity. So if you are in the church, you are anointed. If you are a member of the body, the ointment will flow from the head of Aaron, down into his garments, to the brim, to the rim of his garments. Everything full of oil, saturated with oil. It's dripping of oil. Read Psalm 133. It's where the oneness is. It's dripping, it's flowing with oil. Hallelujah. Wonderful. And that is the flowing of the Spirit. Without this, the church cannot have its proper function. Only through the flowing of the Spirit. That's why I encourage all of you. As our brother said before, I think it was you, Pedro. I believe. That's why I speak. I believe. And I believe the Spirit will flow through me. I want the Spirit to flow through me. Maybe I open up my mouth and something wrong comes out. Don't mind. I exercise my faith. I exercise my spirit that the Spirit may flow through me. If you go back to your places at home, everybody pipes to flow the oil. The rivers flow. The Spirit flows along. It's not only for a big conference like this. The Spirit is meant for our personal lives, our church life at home. So precious. This little group, small home meeting, and like in Bethany, the Spirit flows. And it smells, the odor. Someone consecrates himself for the Lord. When Mary poured out her precious ointment, the whole room was filled with the odor of the ointment. That is a church life. It is not filled with the correct teaching, but with the smell of the ointment. Right? That's what had to be written down in the Bible. That was important to God. That's a character, the being, the nature of the church life, the sweet fellowship with the Lord, where He may reveal Himself, and we give Him back our love, where He flows among us, having such an expression. Where do you find people like this? Where do you find people like this? This is a miracle that there is a church. When we have the table of the Lord celebrated yesterday night, I thought, how can I come into such a holy meeting, wonderful meeting? Lord Jesus, I haven't deserved this. I have not worked for that. I cannot do anything for it. I can only say thanks to Him and praise Him. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. He chose us. He called us. He has much in His mind with us. Hallelujah. Amen. Before us is the glory. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the Spirit. I have to praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.